Since you announced you were not going to be seeking re-election about a year ago, you've probably had some time to reflect on your time as a state representative. What are some of your proudest accomplishments throughout your time in the legislature?
Probably the thing that will be the most memorable was when we voted to end the budget impasse. So having a budget impasse for a couple of years as the representative of the capital city was very difficult. Whether I was in church, the grocery store, dropping my kids off, everywhere I went when we didn't have that budget, I was hearing stories around the community of what kind of challenge it was or how it was hurting the different people that I served. And so when we had the opportunity to vote for a budget that was balanced, even though it had a revenue increase, which is politically something that people don't do, it was one of those moments where I thought, when I push this button, I know that it's the right thing to do. I understood why some people pushed the red button because of who they represented or what they were working on. But for me, I knew that it was going to bring some stability back to my community, and it was something that was a necessary thing that we had to do, that we had just gotten in this spiral that was unresolvable. But I also knew that by making that vote, it was a vote that many of the people in my party, they were not supportive of. The governor was very upset by it. It was one of those votes you take where you knew that you had to do it, that it was the right thing to do, but politically you were going to have some major challenges in the weeks and months ahead.
Something that really gained traction, essentially it was created during your time in office, was the Me Too movement. We saw this gain traction throughout the entire country, right here in Illinois. It became evident that there was a certain culture throughout the state house that wasn't particularly inviting to women. So can you talk a little bit about that culture, and have you seen it improve or change in your time as a representative?
I think it was last fall, so coming up about a year, there was new information to many of the members that we didn't have a legislative inspector general for our branch of government for almost 3 years, which, shame on all of us for not knowing that, not filling that. And there was a lot of miscommunication, non-information, that there weren't cases, on and on and on. But the bottom line is that was ridiculous that we wouldn't have somebody in that role. And so fast forward to now, you know, there have been allegations that have come out almost monthly involving folks in and around state government. Some people have resigned. There are other investigations at the Legislative Inspector General's office. And part of it for me, and I've worked in and around the Capitol as a reporter, on staff, now as a legislator, and I have experienced cases where I feel like it was inappropriate comments. Now that we've studied the law and know how to define sexual harassment in a legal sense, I don't think that any of those situational, inappropriate comments to me were pervasive. And, you know, if I ignored the person or mentioned something to a supervisor, it stopped. So it wasn't this pattern that you have to prove legally as a definition for sexual harassment. Now, should women have to experience that at all? The answer is no. For me, I've kind of had to deal with a lot of things in my career, from what I described as sort of inappropriate talking to a woman that wouldn't raise probably to the definition of sexual harassment, to a stalking case when I was a reporter in East Central Illinois that went through the county courthouse. And so I think I have sort of a unique perspective on something that was a felony charge to inappropriate. And so what we've been doing at the State House is trying to study our laws and see how we can strengthen them, strengthen our process, make it more transparent but still confidential. A lot of it is in the policy and the laws, and then some of it is trying to change behaviors and have respect and kindness toward other human beings. And how do you legislate that?
You're listening to Statewide, and I'm speaking with Representative Wojcicki Jimenez about her time in state government. Staying on the topic of Me Too and women's equality, you mentioned that you had some inappropriate remarks made to you. Did you ever feel that that inappropriateness was ever a hindrance on your time as a legislator?
I think as I came into the position of legislator, and I think this is an interesting point that you make, when you are the person in power, if you're a woman or a man, those types of things go away. because I think people are hesitant, because you're a person, generally, when they're meeting with you, they're asking you for something. The things that I described in terms of inappropriate comments and those sorts of things pretty much stopped when I became a legislator. Now, there were some things that happened on the campaign where people were very inappropriate, commenting about what I look, different parts of my body, you know, things that I would do or not do, and those sorts of things, and commentary on social media. But again, that's not really, when we're talking about sexual harassment, that's not a workplace thing. And so this is where things get a little hairy in terms of free speech and what people can say. Yes, it's inappropriate, but I think that for the most part, it wasn't ever a situation where somebody said, can you do this for this or anything to that, not even close. As we're talking about this issue, you see more sexual harassment and allegations of it where there is a really big imbalance of power. And so you have elected people, they're you know, they control budgets, they control bills, they control all these things. And then other people who are coming to talk with them, they all have a role and it's very important, but the power imbalance is so great. These are the places where people are the most vulnerable for this type of behavior.
With all of these issues, all of these stories coming out at the State House, it can be probably very intimidating for some women. So how do we get women interested? How do we get them to run?
Women, I think, make up slightly more than 50% of the population nationwide. And it just makes sense that your legislative body should match that. Now, in Illinois, it's around 30%, I think, so, which is still very low, but I think we rank in the top 10 of legislatures across the country. So that's better, I guess. But we certainly should strive and have it be a goal to have more women involved in politics and in government at all levels. I think for me, and this is just kind of a funny thing, but being a younger woman legislature with kids who are 5, I really don't have time for a lot of, I want to say, kind of like BS. I want to we have a job to do. Let's get it done. What do we need to get it done? And I think one of the things that I've learned, especially in a role in the legislature, is that most things are negotiable. When you come into these roles, you have to pick really 1 or 2, 3 at the most, things that are a value for you, maybe a moral issue or personal value. And those are not negotiable. Everything else, you need to learn how to negotiate on. And I think with women sometimes, we are, and I guess I can only speak for myself and the friends that I know, but you see the goal and how are we going to get there by the end of the day? And we don't really have time to dig in our heels and wait forever to get this done. And so I think by having more women at the table, it would help maybe move some things along.
As 2 women sitting here, I think we could agree. But given the current political climate, how can parties retain female legislators?
I think that the way that you get women involved is it has to be a little bit different than maybe the traditional way of getting people involved in politics. Because part of the traditional way is that you volunteer on a campaign, you sort of get interested, and maybe you run for a local office, and then you rise, and then. But now we're in an era where political experience and government experience is actually can be a mark against you. You know, we're sort of in this era where that type of route has not been getting people elected. It's actually been something that's been used against you. Oh, you're a career politician. You're a, you know, this, that, or the other. And so I think it leaves an opening for getting other types of people involved. I think what drives women a lot of times is not that they want to be president or the mayor or somebody on the city council. What usually drives women is an issue. And it doesn't have to just be, because some people say, you know, it has to be like kid-oriented. It can be any issue. That's kind of the entree for women, is to figure out what maybe they're passionate about and have that be the driver. I think the other thing is you just look at the legislature. I think there's one other lady in my caucus who has a young child, and then me. But I can name several young men who are my age who have young children. And I don't know if it's how we're wired or what, but women sometimes miss this window where they wait till their kids are grown, you know, they're in college, and then they run. Well, then you have all these men who've been serving for 10, 15 years, who have more seniority, more leadership, more experience. And so we have to figure out a way to get women interested and be accommodating during that time where a lot of them have young children. Getting some women involved, not only as the person, as the elected person, which is the ultimate goal, but getting them involved in campaigns. And just last week, I had a group of interns in from somebody else's office, and they were wanting a tour of the Capitol, and we were on the floor, and there was one young lady in the group. And I always, and hopefully it doesn't embarrass them, but I point them out, and I say, thank you very much for coming. I know that sometimes it's awkward when you walk in the room and you're the only woman there. And so we need you to keep doing that, especially as young women. Because then I think once they get involved at a younger age, they see it's something they can do.